Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Smell Podcast. I'm your host, Katie Boateng. Happy Anosmia Awareness Day 2022. It's already the 10-year anniversary of this Awareness Day. This day was started by Daniel Shine back in 2012 in celebration of our invisible condition. For more information, you can check out their website, which is www.anosmiaawareness.org. So this week, please join me in listening to a conversation with Amanda Dix, congenital anosmic, home bakery owner, social media guru, and birth doula. We talk about how she grew up with congenital anosmia, how she runs a successful baking business focused on flavors even though she has anosmia, what Anosmia Awareness Day means to her, and much more. Our interview was recorded in February 2022. Let's listen to the conversation.
Hi, Amanda. Welcome to the Smell Podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you so much for joining me. So for today, the way that we usually get started on the interviews is I just ask the guests to tell me a little bit about themselves. So can you tell us about yourself? Where are you from? Where do you live now? And basically, what do you do for work? So lots of questions thrown into one.
Yeah, so I'm Amanda. I live in Bowling Green, Ohio. I've been married for going on 6 years in June. I have two little girls, almost 4-year-old and a 3-month-old. I was doing phlebotomy for the longest time, and I quit when my first daughter was about 1.5 years, and now I work full-time. I own a home bakery, so I do that, and I'm also a birth doula, a little bit of everything.
That's interesting. That's really cool.
Yes, it's super fun. I've taken a little break from the birth doula job since my youngest has been born, but I do cakes full time, all the time.
That's great. And also, I think it's kind of cool that we're talking today because you're also involved with the Smell Podcast in a way. So can you tell us a little bit about how we got connected?
Yes. So a friend of ours, a mutual friend, connected us. I own my own business now. It's been going on 5 years. So I've been doing a lot of social media work, graphic design, for all of that, and I really wanted to start expanding and helping other businesses, and she connected me with you, and yep. So now I help do all the social media work for the Smell Podcast, which is super fun.
Yeah, everyone who's interested in the podcast or hasn't checked me out on social media yet, make sure you do, because you'll see Amanda's good work that she's helping with. And the reason that our mutual friend got us connected together is because we both have anosmia, and that's the reason that you're on the podcast today. So let's kind of talk about that. What is your background with having anosmia?
So I was born without a sense of smell, so congenital. I don't really remember when I noticed I was missing a smell. It's just something that I've just always known. I thought was normal, I guess. So people would smell something and I'm like, oh, I don't smell anything. That's weird. I really don't even know an age.
Most of the people I've spoken to on the podcast, they typically say it's like elementary school age that they start noticing a difference because maybe they're around other kids. So does that kind of resonate with you? Do you think it was when you were in school?
It doesn't, like, I don't have a memory of it. And that's so strange to a lot of people. They're like, how do you not remember it? I just don't remember. I don't know if it's just blocked out of my memory or I just, you know.
That's interesting. So kind of let's talk about that a little bit more. So when you were growing up, like with your family members, obviously you didn't smell anything. Was there a lot of conversation about that with your family? Like, do they remember that you don't have a sense of smell? Do they believe you?
I remember my mom getting my nose looked at. I went to ENTs, and I had my anos and tonsils taken out. And I had a lot of sinus issues throughout my whole entire life. So I think it was just assumed that I just couldn't smell because of my sinuses. I remember her taking me to a few allergists, and they tried to see if I had polyps, didn't have any of those. It's just, other than that, I don't really remember like talking about it too much when I was younger.
That's so interesting. Does it affect anyone else in your family that you know of? Like,
no.
Extended family members?
Not that I know of, no.
So interesting. Huh. So maybe it's just the tonsils and stuff that you had when you were little, or your sinuses, like you said. That's interesting. So kind of one thing that I am excited about is we're chatting this time, or we're chatting now, because this episode is going to be published on Anosmia Awareness Day 2022. And it's actually the 10-year reunion of Anosmia Awareness Day. This was started in 2012 by Daniel Shine. So if anyone's interested who's listening, you can check out anosmiaawareness.org to see their website. But basically, I want to ask you, like, in celebration of Anosmia Awareness Day, what does the day mean to you, having congenital anosmia?
I think it's super cool. Not too many people know that we exist until most recently when COVID hit, because, you know, everybody's losing their sense of taste and smell. So everybody kind of was oblivious to it before then. Anybody I would talk to, at least personally, like, what? That's a thing? I had no idea. So I think it's super cool that there's an awareness day and it's bringing, or coming up more to light for people to know about.
Absolutely. I think it's exciting that it's already at the 10-year mark. And I believe that the pandemic has made it, to your point, way more common for people to know about smell and taste loss. And it's actually kind of interesting because I think it's like smell and flavor loss. When people say that they've lost their sense of smell and taste, I don't know for sure. I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think what people mean is that they've lost their sense of flavor perception, because a lot of flavor is smell, which is just an interesting fact. So kind of speaking about this and your relationship growing up with food. So I'm always fascinated to speak with congenital anosmics because I want to know, or I want to understand a little bit more. Do you think that having no sense of smell has impacted your relationship with food and eating, if at all?
Yes. So I can't taste like seasonings and different flavors of food. And my best example has always been Starburst. Everybody says, oh, the pink and the yellow are my favorite. I'm like, why? They all taste the same.
Mm.
So I'm a great baker. I can bake things because I can taste that. But when I go to season food, I've accidentally like over seasoned eggs before with way too much garlic. I about killed my husband with that.
Right.
So like actual like meals, I have a hard time experimenting with seasonings because I can't taste them. So I've never really gotten into like cooking as much.
Right. It's interesting to me that you don't like to cook as much, but you like to bake.
Huh.
Huh. So kind of let's dive into that. So you told me you run your own cake business. First off, what is your business called?
It's called Jane Doe.
And how can people find it so that we can get you lots of nice orders?
So on Instagram, it's Jane_Doe, D-O-U-G-H _and_sweets. And then on Facebook, I'm also found just by Jane Doe and Sweets.
That's great. So people should make sure to check those out. I'll put that in the episode notes. But I want to kind of dive into that. What do you think is going on there? So obviously you have a cake business. You're successful with your business. You've been doing it for a while. People are buying your things that you're baking. So how do you know what the cake, what the flavors are? Like, how do you navigate that?
So I came up with my recipe on my own. Once I got the base for it, I kind of went from there and experimented. If it's like a fruit flavor, I have no problem tasting that. Chocolate vanilla, that's pretty okay too. It's when I go into like cinnamon or pumpkin spice, things like those that have more seasonings in them. Or spices, I'll have to have my husband taste before I add it to my menu. And sometimes I'm afraid to add too much, like my cinnamon buttercream, especially. It's never the same. It's always different because I'm always afraid to add too much. And I'm like, hey, can you taste this real quick? So it's some aspect it's difficult, but most of the time it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think No, I understand exactly what you mean by having an Aussie myself, because you mentioned earlier about like the garlic. I like to buy like that prepackaged, like pre-diced garlic that they have in a little jar to like add to things. I hate mincing garlic for recipes. It's just like so time consuming and sticky, like on the knife when you're mincing garlic. So I just usually get like the prepackaged one. And I have to be really aware of the fact that I'm putting so much of that into recipes, because like if I make something, I'm like, oh, garlic is great, but I don't actually really taste the garlic myself now that I think about it. But I'll put like a tablespoon of garlic into something. And I'm like, because I guess I'm like chasing garlic, the flavor or the taste. And so sometimes my husband, like to your point, he'll just be like, what are you cooking in here? Like, what are you doing with this garlic smell? So yeah, I could see how that would be difficult for you running your business and not wanting to be like, oh, more cinnamon, more whatever, and adding it all in. So that's really cool that you have your husband available to help you.
Yes. He gets a slice of cake though sometimes.
Right. So kind of talking about that, do people who buy things from you, when they're coming, do you have like a physical store or is it all online orders?
All online. Okay. I'll do some pop-ups occasionally.
Right.
But with COVID right now, things are kind of put to aside for that.
More restricted. So I'm kind of curious to know, do any of your customers know that you don't have a sense of smell?
I don't really know. I know I've mentioned it sometimes. Sometimes I'll do like fun facts on my Instagram just to engage people. And I know I've at least once or twice have said, you know, fun fact, I can't, you know, I don't have a sense of smell. But I don't know if people remember that or really like soak it in.
Yeah. No, I have like a certain family members and friends who still, I've been an Osmic since like 08, 09. And they still don't remember. So I think it's not common to remember because it's not something that's normal. Not normal. That's not what I mean. It's not very common to have anosmia. So I feel like people forget easily.
Yeah. I mean, my husband forgets still.
Yep. Sounds about right. So I want to ask this next question. It's one that I ask everyone who comes on the episode, and I always preface it with, there's no right or wrong answer. I'm just curious to hear what your thoughts are. But do you self-identify as having a disability because you have anosmia?
I don't know. I never even met anybody that would be like, oh, that is a disability, you know, that responded in that way either.
Yeah, it's curious. It's definitely, it's pretty split in the anosmia community, like based on what I've heard and like spoken with people, of those who think it is and those who think it's not. So I always love asking this question because it just goes back and forth. There's no agreement, and there doesn't need to be an agreement, but it's just curious to hear what people think about it. So I want to ask a question about your kids, because I am not a brand new mom anymore. My son's going to be 1 in April. So he's about to be 10 months old. And I know for myself, there's a lot of impacts of having anosmia in children. So I'm just curious, do you have any examples, or has having anosmia impacted how you mother, like how you are as a mom?
It does, big time. I'm constantly checking diapers. The day that my first daughter started potty training, it was amazing. I'm like, oh, I don't have to check diapers anymore. So, but now that I have another, you know, a newborn or a 3-month-old, I'm constantly checking diapers and always changing her, probably more than she really needs to be. But that's can be good and bad, of course, because I don't have to smell the dirty diapers. Mm-hmm. But then it always affects me because I can't smell them. Everybody says, oh, newborns have such amazing smell. I'm like, I don't know what that smells like.
Right.
So like that affects me big time. Other than that, I don't really get affected by otherwise. Like,
I do the diaper check.
Diapers.
Yeah. I when he was first born, I actually bought a brand of diapers that didn't have the wetness indicator. And I was like, yeah, that's out the door. Like, those are going. You have to get the wetness indicator.
Yes. Just,
even if you have a sense of smell, I feel like that's useful.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah, my son, I am always literally like checking all the time. He's probably like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this to me? But what's curious to me is actually with that, I don't know if your husband does the same, but My husband's not very good at sniffing. He also like visually inspects, and I don't know if he's just copying me or like, I'm not sure, but he doesn't usually do like the sniff check like I've seen some parents do.
My husband will occasionally do it, like especially if we're out in public and you don't want to undress her.
Right.
But if we're home, he's always checking her too.
Yeah. And visual inspection is better, I think.
Oh, for sure.
So my next question for you is, what do you want people who don't have a smell disorder to know about what it's like living with one?
This is a hard question. I don't take it for granted, I guess. That's a big one. Yes, I can't smell the gross things, but I've never smelled a flower, you know, smelling my newborns. I would just tell listeners not to take it for granted.
That's a good point. And if you could have a sense of smell, would you want one?
I think so. I've thought about this a lot throughout my whole life. Like, do I want a sense of smell? Like, if I could ever fix it, if that ever a thing to happen, would I? And I think I would.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sure if I would, but I think I would.
Yeah, I've heard a lot from people with congenital anosmia that they would like to try it.
Yes.
But have the option to like turn it off basically if it's too much or too overwhelming.
That would be nice.
Right. So any scientists or people who are out there working on this, maybe we can make electronic noses that you can turn on and off. Or like the volume, you know, to like put it in auditory terms, like maybe you could turn up and down the volume on smells. That would be kind of cool. The intensity, I guess. So do you have anything else that you'd like to share with listeners?
I don't.
Okay. And then one more shout out. How can people find you on social media for your cake business so they can go and order some great treats?
So on Instagram, it's Jane Doe and Sweets, all with underscores in between each word. And then Facebook is just Jane Doe and Sweets.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks to Amanda for coming on the podcast and sharing her anosmia story with us. Make sure to check out her bakery business, Jane Doe, on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and also her baking website. And finally, happiest of Anosmia Awareness Day to all of you. I feel that we've all been doing an amazing job of raising awareness these past few years, and here's to continuing to raise awareness about the importance of anosmia and other taste and smell disorders. The Smell and Taste Association of North America, or STANA, is the first patient organization focused on smell and taste disorders in the USA. To find out more, visit STANA's website online at www.thestana.org. STANA is an official 501c3 nonprofit, so any donations are tax deductible. We're still fundraising to help all of us who have smell and taste disorders, so please donate on the website if you can. Also, check out the latest series of programming called STANA Live Sensory Insights on Instagram, where we interview people from the world of taste and smell. You can visit our Instagram page to view all of our previous interviews too. For any questions or if you'd like to get involved, please visit the website or email us at info@thestana.org.